The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
If you have a Bible, turn to Luke 19. Luke 19. Yay! We're going to talk about a dude that was a risk taker. A dude who was a risk taker. His name is Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. A little man was he. Luke 19. Luke chapter 19, this young man's going to have his life changed in a couple minutes. Now, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Everyone say Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man. Anybody short in the house? Anybody short? Anybody short? Being a short man, he could not, watch these words, because of the crowd. Because of the crowd, he could not see Jesus. So what did he do? Verse 4, he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him. He climbed into the tree since Jesus was coming that way. Some versions say he was desperate to see Jesus, so he climbed up the sycamore tree. Sycamore trees were well known in Jesus' day. They had great root systems, which means he knows if he's going to climb and he's not going to fall. It was a brilliantly strong tree going vertical and going downward into the ground. The roots were very deep. So once he climbs up, he knows he's safe there. So when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. And Zacchaeus is like, man, I just climbed up here. No, come on down. Come down. I must stay at your house today. And so Zacchaeus came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. I love that. Now all the people saw this and they started to mutter. Mutter sort of like grumbling, like rrr, 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 rrr. It even sounds like mutter, 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 mutter. Can you guys do it, mutter, right? Mutter, 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 mutter. Beautiful, beautiful. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Or some versions say a crook. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to you and to this house, because this man, a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to save and seek that which is lost. So let me ask you a question tonight. When you see a friend struggling, or when you see someone messed up, how do you typically respond when you see someone that maybe your school system doesn't like? Maybe there's people in your grade that there's a certain person that they don't like that person. How do you typically respond? Let me give you some options here. Do you distance yourself from that person? Do you find yourself, secondly, do you find yourself compassionate and patient? Or third, do you judge that person by feeling and acting like you're superior, that you think you're better than them? Or fourth, do you feel sorry for them but do nothing? So give me a shout out. How many of you are like typically number one, you distance yourself from the person that people don't like? Okay, how about number two? You're compassionate and patient. How many of you are there? Okay, how about the third one? You tend to judge people and act superior. Okay, you tend to at least like way up there, okay? And then you feel for them but do nothing, okay? So you feel something for them. So this dude in the Bible here that we're going to talk about tonight, the subject tonight is false identity or true identity. And Zacchaeus is a very interesting case study. I love this story because he is a young man. We can assume a couple things about him. Number one, he's wealthy, okay? He's a very wealthy person, and we know that because in order to work for what he's going to do, his job, his identity is rooted in his job or his vocation. He works for the IRS. You know who the IRS is? Close. That's right. So some of the adults in the house, have you guys started working on your taxes?
They run Area 51.
Yes, exactly. You working on your taxes yet? Have you finished them? No, I haven't either, okay? And so we know that he's wealthy. We know that he's also, number two, he's short. And so I think that when the Bible says he's short, I think it's talking about two things here. I think it's talking about, one, his stature, meaning he's down here. And by the way, most Jewish men in Jesus' day were around 5 feet to 5 foot five, 5 foot six. They were not tall folks. So Danielle, you're feeling excited about that, aren't you? Okay, way to go. So if you're in here and you're 5'1", 5'2", 5'3", 5'4", you're kind of Jewish style, Zacchaeus style. If you're 5'5 and up, you're pretty tall. Any 5'5s and up in here? Okay, you're pretty tall. I think, though, that Zacchaeus has what we will call today small man's mentality. He feels small. He feels looked down on. His identity is rooted in two things that we know about: his wealth and the fact that he just feels small. He feels very small. So the Bible says because he feels small, he also does something very unique that most people wouldn't do. He goes and he climbs a tree because he hears that Jesus is coming. And the word is this in most versions: desperate. He is desperate to see Jesus. And I'm afraid, men and women, that we've lost that in our culture today. There's just not a lot of people who are desperate to see Jesus. There are not a lot of people that are desperate to have a relationship with Jesus. There are not a lot of people I meet that are desperate to have this relationship with the Almighty God. And I'm afraid we've lost that. But Zacchaeus is going to remind us tonight that that desperation can be found, and that excitement can be regained. And if you've lost it, you can find it again tonight. And if you've kind of gotten off the deep end, or you've made some bad choices, or even kind of in a worse way, you just don't care. Well, tonight, maybe that desperation can come back to you. So we know he's wealthy. And because he's wealthy, he is hated. Now, there are some people in our culture, if you got money, you are respected. But in this culture, because he's IRS, because he's a chief tax collector, because he has a lot of dough, he is despised. People don't like him. And when he walks around, people get away. They don't like him. They refer to him as sinner and coward and crook and a money grubber. And you're out to take my money away. And they were judged severely. They were not liked at all. In fact, there was some kind of story that says this: when a tax collector walks down the street, everybody moves to the other side of the street. We don't like him. And maybe you've met someone like that in your life. Maybe you've met someone that was made fun of and put down. And when you saw them, maybe there was a heart of you that went for compassion. Or maybe, like in Zacchaeus' day, you felt judgment. You thought you were cool, so cool, and that person is a punk. They're dirt, and you're really cool. You're really extra cool. In fact, you're as cool, almost as cool as God is. And Zacchaeus feels shameful, and he feels embarrassed, and he feels hurt. So he climbs up that tree. He's looking for Jesus. And when Jesus comes by, he tells Zacchaeus one very powerful thing: get down and come, and let's hang out together in your house. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That Jesus wants to hang out with you, that Jesus wants to have a friendship with you, that Jesus wants a relationship with you. He wants to hang out with you. So Zacchaeus, he's wealthy, he's short, he's disliked, but he wants to see Jesus. And that's the one redeeming thing. I shared with you my story early this morning about partying and doing stupid stuff. I think what happens is God starts to put something inside of that heart we're talking about that's meant to be filled only with God, and we start to fill it up with partying and drugs and sports and TV and media and iPads and all this stuff. We start to fill it all up, and then we start to realize one big thing doesn't fulfill. It just doesn't last. There's a deep emptiness there. So Zacchaeus comes to Jesus and he says, listen, let's hang out together. And so they do, they hang out in the house. Now, I want you to know that the crowd got in his way. And let me ask you tonight, what crowd is blocking you from Jesus? Who is it that perhaps has gotten in the way of you and Jesus that blocks you from seeing Jesus fully? I mean, is it a team? Is it a group of people you're hanging out with? Is it just one? Is it a particular mindset that you have that's not letting you see who God really is? The crowd is blocking Zacchaeus. And so his identity is really in his job. And his identity is really in being a sinner. Something remarkable is about ready to happen. Jesus knows him by name. And we don't know how we exactly know all of this. We don't know that, like, if Zacchaeus was a very popular person, or if it's just because Jesus knows everybody, ultimately he knows their name. But he actually calls him, Zacchaeus, come down. Let me come into your house. So once he comes into his house, something is about ready to happen here. They get into his house, and all of a sudden, his identity is about ready to be changed. Listen to this. This is what Zacchaeus is going to say. Lord, look, here and now I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. Now, Jesus did not give him a teaching while they're in the house on you should give away your money. I think that there was a deep conviction once he was in the presence of Jesus that he was thinking to himself out loud, dang it, I'm a rich dude. I've kept all this money to myself. I've robbed people for money. I've taken money from people, and I think there was a deep, settled conviction, something's got to change about me. Jesus, I'm so convicted just by being in your presence. I'm so overwhelmed by being with you. I've got to make a change. I've got to make a change right now, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody, I will give them four times as much. So let's say he owes $400. Now how much is he going to give? $1,600. Beautiful. Let's say he owes $1,000. He's going to give away $4,000. Let's say he owes $10,000. $40,000, right? That's a lot of money, isn't it? He's going to give away all these possessions. Because what he's doing tonight, when Jesus is in his house, he's giving his heart back. That's what he's doing. He's giving his heart back. What does Jesus say to him? Today, salvation has come. And that word salvation literally means wholeness. Everyone say wholeness. It means wholeness. It means to be made whole. See, God isn't just interested in this new belief system that, yeah, Jesus, you're Messiah, all that's important. What Jesus is concerned about is the guy's heart is being changed in that moment. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, he's a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. His identity up to that point, sinner. That's his identity. That's who he is. His identity is tax collector. His identity, cheating people. Guess what? A change is about to happen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. If any man or woman is in Christ, all things old are going to pass away, and all things will become brand new. Tonight, Zacchaeus, I am going to make you brand spanking new. I'm going to change your identity. It's going to be from sinner to new creature. From old to new. From broken to mended. From hurting and despised and rejected to saved. To seek and save that which was lost. So tonight, maybe you are like Zacchaeus. And as I close tonight, I want to suggest three steps for you to think through how this happened. Step number one, Zacchaeus is an outsider who's now looking in. He's an outsider to Jesus who now wants to become an insider. He's an outsider who's looking in. Jesus invites him in, says, let me come into my house. Let me come into your house. Let's hang out together. Let's have, you know, drink together. Let's have some lox and bagels together. Let's just hang out. The outsider is becoming in. But there's a couple more steps. The step two is this. Now the insider is now looking in. He's now an insider. He now feels accepted for the very first time in his life. He's not being made fun of. He's not being judged. Jesus is looking on him with great affection and great admiration. And Jesus is looking at him saying, I am making you new. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. He is now looking in. He goes from outsider to insider, and he's looking in. But there's one more step. He is now an insider who's looking both in at Jesus, but now thinking about how I can make an impact outwardly. Lord, got all this money. I'm going to pay it back. Half to them, four times to them. He's now just not thinking about me and Jesus in this cool little holy huddle relationship and just you and me, Jesus, like, yeah, let's you and I just hang out. But now it's like this. No, it's the insider saying, I'm looking in at Jesus, but now, Jesus, let's now start to look out to see how we can impact people and influence people. So tonight, where are you? Are you an outsider that says, you know, I occasionally go to church, or I kind of like church stuff, or I've really liked this retreat, but is there more to this Christian life? And I'm kind of looking on the outside, but I kind of like to look in now. What does it look like to go in into a relationship with Christ? And maybe for some of you tonight, you're an outsider and you're saying, I want to get in. And not like this little click, but I want to get in. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to find out what that looks like. Maybe that's some of you. Maybe for some of you others, you are already in. You've asked Christ to come in your life. You've prayed the prayer. You've done the church thing a little bit. You go on retreats, but you still know that there's got to be more. Maybe it's like you're struggling. You're just like, I'm just not growing enough. And then for some of you, you're an insider and you're growing, but you just feel like, you know, I'm supposed to do more with my Christianity and I'm not doing enough. And maybe for some of you, like, God has a plan for you in the future, and you're going to be a youth pastor, or you're going to be a worker for God somehow, some way. Maybe you'll be a missionary or a pastor. Maybe you'll be a medical missionary or a nurse missionary. I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe you'll be a musician for God. I don't know what you're going to be. But there's that deep sense of, I don't want to just look in. I want to look in and out. I want to impact my relationship with God here and now, but I don't want to just keep it here. I want it to flow out. And so tonight, we're going to just take some time singing. We're going to take some time praying. And for some of you tonight, you're an outsider who needs to get in the kingdom, not church, not youth group, but you need to start that relationship with God tonight. And we're going to give you a chance to do that. And for some of you, you've prayed that prayer, but maybe you're a little bit just bored with it. And God's stirring you up tonight to say, I really want to get you in. And for some of you, you're ready to just impact the world for God big time. But you really don't know how, and you just maybe need some extra prayer to do that. So the band's going to come and play a song or two. And then what we're going to do tonight is, your small group leaders, the girls I think I sent you, you're going to go that way, right, girls? Is that right? You can go there, now, girls, girl leaders. And guy leaders, you're going to go that way, some toward the back, some toward the front. And while we're just singing freely, I'm going to just ask the Holy Spirit to orchestrate this. There is no manipulation here at all, none of that. We abhorred that. We're just asking, if you need prayer for anything I've talked about tonight, like I really want to get to know God better, and I just don't. Let me get the guys spread out. You guys look like bouncers. Come on, just kind of like move around. Yeah, go that way. Girls, just kind of spread out there. Thank you. Just, yeah. And I don't want any students to be intimidated by this, but you know who your small group leader is and are and plural. And so we're going to sing one song, and then we're just going to give you the freedom to mosey on to one of your small group leaders. And you know what to pray for tonight. You know what's going on in your soul. You know what's in your heart. And maybe you want to just, you really want to start growing, and maybe you're not. Or maybe you're just on fire, but you just don't know how to get unleashed. Or tonight, you're like, you know, David, I don't know. My heart's just never been changed. I've prayed the prayer. I've done all that stuff, but I just really don't have that relationship with God that you're talking about, and I want that tonight. So, Father, we ask you to guide us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move in a mighty way that only you can do. We don't want to try to drum up anything here. We're just asking your Spirit to move and lead people into a deep place tonight. Help people come honest tonight, just like Zacchaeus. Help them come clean, that they want to be in a relationship with you, and they want to grow. So fill us tonight. Move upon us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sand Hills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.